Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with our special guest this week, Butch Jim Murphy, who's the president and founder of Veracruz Communications. He's a longtime friend of Renewal Ministries, and he's certainly been on the radio here over the years a few times with Ave Maria Radio. And he's been one of the most dynamic lay leaders across the world, really, over the last number of decades in bringing the message of what we're talking about today, the grace of a new Pentecost, and what it means in reality. It's not just an event that we celebrate. Jim's been sharing with us like a historical event. It certainly is a historical event, but it's a historical event that has changed everything. And from that event, from the reality of what Christ has accomplished on his passion, death, and resurrection, and pouring out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he released the river of life across human history. And that river is still flowing today. So welcome back, Jim. Can we take another dive into dimensions of what it means to be alive in the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking, or we've been talking so far, Peter, about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I just feel like I have to kind of say this. There's a mystery here. And I think everybody's got to be careful of saying, if we do this, then God must do this. You know, creating these kind of formulas. And it's human nature. We tend to kind of get into, I know what the Holy Spirit is. Well, yeah, you know part of it. You don't know it all. You know what I mean? I think it's interesting that in Luke's writings, when he describes Pentecost Sunday, he says, there was something like the sound of a strong driving wind. Something like fire came and rested on us. You know, I mean, the poor man, even under the influence of the Holy Spirit, can't quite get it the right word, you know? So I'm always a little leery about people who say, well, I know all this. Like, no, you don't know as much as you think you do. Jesus says the wind blows where it will. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. You can see a leaf being moved by the wind, but you don't actually see the wind. So there's mystery here. For an example, in some places in Acts, people are baptized, and then they receive the Holy Spirit in sacramental baptism. Other places, Acts 10 is an example, Peter is preaching to the household of Cornelius, a bunch of Gentiles, by the way, who don't fit the equation. And as he's talking, they all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, wait a minute, I didn't even get to my line yet. You can't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he said, well, they've already received the Spirit, I guess we better baptize them.
Yeah, what did Peter see that convinced him, even though that they weren't water baptized in the moment, that he said, well, they've already received.
Well, see, that was the evidence for him. They all began to speak in various tongues. Mm-hmm. When he has to explain all this to all the Christians who were Jewish, they were a little ticked off with Peter for doing this. And he says, well, and I love this line, he says, they received the same Holy Spirit that we did at the beginning, back on Pentecost. So he says, how could I prevent them from being baptized? Because God obviously has brought them into the same thing that we're in.
Yeah, they spoke in tongues and prophesied, just like it happened to us.
Just like it happened to
them,
Pentecost.
And it happened to these Gentiles,
yeah.
The soldiers, no less.
Just like it happened to the 3,000 later that afternoon on Pentecost Sunday. So there's things that don't quite fit the box. And I would have to say that that's, I think, a problem for a lot of folks. Like, I'm just going to say this. I absolutely am convinced that when we are baptized sacramentally and when we are confirmed sacramentally, I am absolutely convinced that God is faithful to his word and the Holy Spirit is poured out. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, it's
true. No question. No question.
Yeah.
But I also have to say that God can work in other ways beyond. One doesn't replace the other. But one is not limited to say, well, if it's not only in the sacrament, then it doesn't exist. This is a true story. I had a buddy who was driving home from an extramarital affair and he was thinking of the next lie to tell his wife. Bottom line is, his car filled with light, and he was suddenly overwhelmed by the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. He actually had to pull over on the side of the road because he couldn't drive. He sat in this car for about another hour, and then everything just kind of faded and went back to normal. He went home a changed man. I mean, that radically different. And he says, I sure didn't deserve it. I wasn't looking for it. Da, 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 da. And he went on to become a great leader of the whole charismatic experience within the state of Texas. A great, great leader. And he said, I don't know why God picked me. But I mean, years before he had been baptized, years before he'd been confirmed, something happened in that car after committing some pretty serious sin. So this thing doesn't fit our boxes. And we get in trouble when we say, it's got to look like this, it's got to look like that. I've met people who weren't, as I said, weren't looking for this and were, if I may say, sovereignly baptized in the Spirit. And I met people who've gone through class after class and seminar after seminar and studied and studied and studied. And it happens differently for every person. But the commonality is, it's a sovereign act of God. A sovereign act of God that ultimately brings about transformation. A couple of years ago, we had a group of leaders in Jerusalem, about 185 people. We thought it'd be a great time. These are some of the really top leaders, mainly lay leaders, some clergy too. But these are people who are involved in all kinds of experiences within the charismatic dimension of the church. And we did a survey, literally a three-page survey. What was your experience of the Holy Spirit? And people said, oh, I felt happy. I cried. I felt heat in my hands. I felt the warmth around my heart. All nice things. But Peter, there were two answers that were almost universal. I mean, we had men, we had women, we had rich, we had poor. We had, I think, eight different language groups. I mean, it was the world. It was the whole world there. And the two things that were almost universal was, the number one thing, when I encounter the Holy Spirit, I experienced, not thought about, I experienced the fatherhood of God. And the second most common thing was, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I understood, I embraced the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it's interesting that it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot be reduced to phenomena. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about relationship. That's important.
The first one you said was the experience of the fatherhood of God. So what does that mean exactly? How do people describe it? What's at the core of that?
People said that they suddenly had an experiential knowledge or an understanding of what their true identity was, that they were children of the Father, that God wasn't some distant theological abstract, but he loved them personally, and they were loved by him. And in being loved by the Father, they had a dignity and a nobility. No matter how raggy their past had been, they knew now that they were the children of God and absolutely grew into that identity, mm-hmm. Absolutely grew into that. A whole new sense of purpose, whole new sense of direction. But they attribute that wasn't just something they stumbled upon. They attribute that to the activity of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They came to know the Father because the Spirit was willing to bring them to the Father, if you might say. Mm-hmm. And then the same with the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah,
they realize, I could not have come to this by my own. This was the activity of the Holy Spirit. So it's great that your hands are warm, and it's great that you're happy, and it's great that all these nice things are happening. Yay, that's great. That's not the main thing. The main thing is, you're in relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's a heavy lift. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Thinking of Paul's letter, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we who are aliens and strangers, and Paul said, enemies of God, become children of God by virtue of the sacrifice of our Lord and the grace and given to birth into that in baptism and confirmation. And the recent magisterium said some amazing things about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gifts that flow with it, through it. And part of it is Pope Paul VI, remember, saying that for many, these graces, people have been baptized and confirmed, these graces lie dormant, or the gifts lie dormant, unawakened, not understood, not experienced. And one of the things I'm amazed by, because it was happening in my own life, but also how many people, I've been a Catholic all my life, how many Catholics I've met who said in their 50s, for the first time, I experienced God's personal love for me for the first time. The Father's always been kind of distant, kind of scares me a little bit. When I think about God the Father, is he mostly happy when he thinks about me? Is he mostly sad when he thinks about me? You know what I mean? And a lot of people say, oh yeah, he's probably disappointed or something because of our own, how we understand ourselves and the way the devil gets in there and causes us. And Jesus comes to restore a reality, not just a theological thought, the reality. He's given us power to become children of God. And so the Holy Spirit cries, Abba, Father, within us. And it's a tender word. It's a surrendered word to God. So beautiful. And that's at the heart of the whole kind of an awakening to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then Paul said, we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and coming to know Jesus as Lord. What did that mean for you in your own life when you say, because I know you've talked about it many different times, but I'd love to just hear your thoughts today, to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord.
Well, I think the Lordship of Jesus, first of all, acknowledges his authority. Jesus is not like a hobby for us, or like, yeah, I got a new set of golf clubs and I got a new car and yeah, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I mean, this is like a complete game changer. But basically, Jesus has authority over my life. So everything is submitted to him. Paul will talk about even taking our thoughts, our imaginations captive. It's funny how many people, once they come under the Lordship of Jesus, things that were no big deal before, they're no longer comfortable with. I've had people who used to be pretty good with a, you know, kind of off-color joke or maybe doing some stuff on the internet that's not really in their best interest. They say, man, I can't go there anymore. I just don't feel comfortable. I can't do that kind of stuff. So the Lord scrutinizes. He looks over our hearts, our attitude, our mind. My friend always put it this way. He says, God loves you so much, he loves you right where you're at. But he loves you so much, he won't leave you where you're at. So you are acceptable in the eyes of God today with all your flaws, all your failures. You're acceptable to God because of the atoning death of Jesus. So it isn't like God saying, oh my gosh, you swore again, get out of here, I don't want you. He's not saying that. He loves you in all your flaws and all your failure. But he's saying, like, come on, keep coming, keep coming. And that's what Jesus does. As Lord, you got to change your life. Yeah. You got to change your thoughts. You got to change it all, man, under the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah, and the promise, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I think that one of the things the devil's strategy is look, you've gone too far. You've made too many mistakes. You've sinned too much. You're too much of a schlep. And you're distant. You're far away. He's far away. And nothing can separate us if we just say yes and accept it. It's the Holy Spirit that covers that space, that brings us, that closes the gap.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So friends, I hope you can join us tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit more about how do we connect more with the Holy Spirit in our lives and how do we surrender to a fuller life in the Spirit. God bless you. Hope you can join us.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.